promise. Give Jesus your best. Give a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on. Woo! Amen. Amen, amen. God is so good. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We cannot describe how excited and honored that we are that you are here with us across the state of Tennessee. We are gathered. If it's your first time, or maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, can I just tell you, whether you're in a worship center, if you're in overflow, if you're in a lobby, can I just say, welcome home. We're just so excited to be, just can we just celebrate being together as a family just one more time? I'm just so excited. God, what a great day. Today we're going to celebrate Easter by coming out of a tomb just like Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And you might think, whoa, 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 I thought today was celebrating Jesus coming out of a tomb. I'm not getting in the tomb, right? For sure, I don't know what you Christians do on Easter, but I'm not getting in the tomb. And I get that. I don't blame you. But over the last couple weeks at Faith Promise, we've been looking at tombs or beliefs in our lives that cause death, even though Jesus offered us life in all areas. There's not one area of your life that Jesus does not give you freedom and life. And we've looked at tombs like unforgiveness, which how many of us does that impact? We've looked at tombs like what is truth or worldly satisfaction and so much more. And so if any of those sound like challenges, or if you're curious what God has to say, you can check out our YouTube, because that's what we've been doing. We've been looking at what does God have to say and using that life and that light to guide us out of those tombs into all that God has for us. Because we believe today, and what we celebrate today, is that Jesus gets the final say. Amen? Do we believe that Jesus gets the final say? Absolutely. Jesus overcame sin and death to offer us eternal life in heaven. Again, not just someday, but to offer us the fullest life. Listen, to offer you the fullest life possible here and now. Not someday, but today. But I wonder, if I asked you, would you say that you're living the fullest life? No matter if you're a Christian or not today, would you say that your life is full, that it's fulfilling, that it's full of love and purpose and direction? Or do you feel like you're lacking? There's something lacking. I want you to know that no matter what just came to your mind that makes you feel like you are lacking, that keeps you from the fullest life that Jesus offers you, Jesus has the answer. Jesus has all that you or I will ever need. And that's not just something we say at church. That's something that we experience day in and day out. He has what we need. Actually, on the cross, while Jesus was dying for our sins, he says something that applies to all of those things that would keep us from living the fullest life possible. And maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't, but I pray that you get a fresh revelation or understanding of it today. In John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, and on the cross, when Jesus is dying on the cross, he said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now listen, this was not a statement of defeat, and this wasn't Jesus declaring that he was just done dying on the cross. Because when we think about the cross, it doesn't seem like a very victorious moment where Jesus, he's got nails through his feet and nails in his hand, and if he wants to take a breath, he has to push up and take a breath. You actually die on a cross from asphyxiation. You suffocate to death while hanging there. So when Jesus pushed up and said, it is finished, a lot of us may have a thought on that, like it was just the last thing that he said. But it was a statement of victory. It was at that moment that the work of our salvation was complete. The debt had been paid, and you and I were saved in that moment. In that moment, the eternity The victory for our eternity was final. And faith promise, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. So hey, we're going to take a few moments and appreciate the beauty and the power leading up to that time where Jesus finished it, where Jesus paid the price, and even a few moments after. Because listen, with the words, "It is finished," the victory was and is final. Now, in these few moments, we are going to be deeply impacted by what Jesus has done for us. So I'm going to ask you, it's going to be hard, but if you could stay seated until prompted to stand, let's be impacted by what God has done for us and what God wants to do through us. Let's watch this together.
If you were painting the most beautiful thing your mind could conceive, what would it be? A sunset over quiet waters, a snow-covered mountain vista, or a garden awash in every hue and shade the eye can perceive? That's how God started everything, by planting a garden. And it was beautiful and good. But it's crazy how quickly places of beauty can become places of pain. That first garden was meant to be a place where people could meet with God the Father. But those first people took hold of the paintbrush and tried to paint in their own version of the picture, covering the canvas in ugly brown and gray splotches, destroying its beauty. God wasn't done, though. He knew the painting must be remade. Those ugly marks couldn't get the last word. So he did the unthinkable and painted himself into the picture. Many years later, in another beautiful garden, the man who was God came to meet with his Father.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." But they couldn't. No matter how hard they worked to stay awake, they couldn't keep their eyes on Jesus.
He was led from the garden to a sham trial stacked with phony witnesses and false accusations. They cursed him, spat on him, reviled him. But he stood quiet, steadfast, sure of his purpose. They stripped him bare, painted his back with crimson whip strokes, covered him in a mocking purple hue, and led him away to die. Those who hoped he'd come to overthrow, destroy the oppressor, and rule were shocked. Those who loved him most were grief-stricken, and those who conspired to kill him, the ones who trusted in their own work to make them right, in their ability to paint their own picture, cheered. It was a death fit only for the vilest and meanest of criminals.
It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself." At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit.
Every artist finds themselves here at one time or another. You had one too many wild ideas, didn't mix the colors quite right, grabbed the wrong brush, or your hand slipped. And suddenly, you're looking at something you can't salvage. You can't fix it on your own. But what if that rogue brushstroke had a greater purpose that you couldn't see? Every person finds themselves at that point in their lives. All our attempts to fix it go sideways and make it worse. Jesus's friends had tried to fix it too. One of them grabbed a sword, defiantly facing down an armed guard that was ready to lead Jesus away. Another sold Jesus out to that same armed guard in a vain attempt to start a revolution that was never meant to be. And now, scattered, helpless, hopeless, they watched everything they knew collapse in one afternoon under a gray canvas sky.
The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph then took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away.
He is King Jesus, because he paid a price that only he could pay for a people that he loved, which is you and me. With the words, "It is finished," the victory was and is final. You guys can have a seat if you can. My goodness, thank you, Jesus, for winning the victory, for finishing the fight for me and for you and for everyone who believes. One more time, just give Jesus some praise for coming out of that tomb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But hey, let's get raw and real here today. Let's not just make it about emotions. For you, does it really feel finished in your day-to-day life? The freedom, the life, the power, the purpose, the fullest life. Because I think a lot of us would say, it doesn't feel finished day-to-day. And that begs the question, then what is finished? When Jesus said it is finished, what's he talking about? Well, I want to show you two things that were finished that apply to every single person. And the first thing that was finished is the power of sin is finished. The power of sin is finished. And another thing that is finished is the separation from God is finished. Those two things are not things you have to fight for or around or through. Those things are finished. Hey, Christian, can I just talk to you? And maybe you thought if you're a Christian, you're going to get out today challenge-free, but that's just not how it works here, right? Hey, Christian, do you feel, does sin still have power in your life? Do you still feel that wrestling match? I want you to remember what God has to say about you in Romans 6:14. He says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, shall no longer have power over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Because Jesus has finished the work of power of sin and of separation from God. Man of God, woman of God, you are not to live in the bondage and the burden of sin and death. It is finished in Jesus. Actually, I want to hear us say today that it is finished in Jesus. Just what is it in your life that keeps you from walking in the fullness of all that God has for you? And I'm going to count to three. And I want, today's about participation. I want to hear you say, "It is finished in Jesus." Whatever it is, the enemy's trying to keep you bound with, in a tomb with. Listen, that is finished in Jesus. On the count of three, I want us to say it together. One, two, three. It is finished in Jesus. It is. Listen, and we'll talk practically here in a moment, but Christians, I love you so much, but there's actually a more important group here with us today. And there are people who, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world or the Savior of your life for different reasons. But listen, when Jesus was on the cross and he finished the work and he died, he said, "It is finished." He took away what separated us from God, something called sin. And he knew everybody was going to sin. When you sin or I sin, it wasn't a surprise to him. It's actually in his word. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory or the perfection of God." See, God is perfect, and we are not. And so God wanted to take care of what was separating us and bring us into relationship with Him. He wanted to pay our debts, cover up our imperfections, so that we could have a relationship with a perfect God. And the only way that a perfect God can have a relationship with an imperfect people was a perfect sacrifice. And that's what Jesus was and is. That's what Him dying on the cross was all about. And that's what Jesus was referring to when He says, "It is finished. The debt's been paid, and the way has been paved for us." And listen, you know, there's people here with us who you believe that God's too far away from you. Maybe you've been coming to church a long time and you don't feel religious enough, or maybe you haven't been to church in years, or you've never been to church. And you feel like, oh, it's too late for me, God's too far from me. Or you think this, that God wouldn't want you. But listen, that's not what God has to say. That might have been what a Sunday school teacher told you, or what somebody said. But if you look at God's word, from cover to cover, it is all about Him pursuing us to have a relationship with you, no matter where you find yourself, because He knew you'd be there, and He wants to be there with you. Actually, I had this revelation from God recently that helped me visualize this distance between us and God, and I shared it last week with the church, but just felt like we should talk about it again, because it so represents how the devil makes us feel. So I'm having my kiddos come out here and help me with this. Come on out here, a little quicker than that. Okay. This is JL and River. You guys say hi.
Hello.
Hi, okay. I have a third one, but he's a wild card. We're not doing that to you guys. Okay, it's a holy day. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to help me. You guys face this way, all right? So in this analogy, they're going to play sinners like their mother. And it's okay, you just look this way. You're so good at it. All right, and I'll play Jesus, obviously, okay? So here's what we do. We think when we sin, you guys sin. You're so good at it. All right, now stop. When we sin, and then when we pursue something, we realize, gosh, this isn't all it cracked up to be. Whether it be money or sex or a claim from people, whatever it might be, we pursue it, and we realize, gosh, this is not what I'm made for. Because Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity in the heart of every man or woman. So there's this distance we feel that we're not, that gosh, this is not who I'm supposed to be. So we decide, hey, I'm going to turn to God. And then we feel like this is what we see. We feel like that there's this chasm that we can't cross. But come back here. This is actually after Jesus finished the work of salvation. Sorry. This is actually more like what it looks like. When we sin and we walk away and we're choosing our own way and we're pursuing this stuff, we realize, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought it would be. I don't feel fulfilled. I'm missing something. I know I'm created for more. And we turn to Jesus. It looks more like this. This is where He is, because He wants to be with us and He wants to have a relationship with us. He spanned the gap so that we could be there. And listen, it wasn't so that He could say, I told you so. He wasn't so He could say that, oh, I can't believe you would do that. It's because He wants you. Listen, how crazy is it? Your works is not what provided salvation, so why would your works push Him away? We never drew Him close. He always drew close to us, right? Because He wants you, because He loves you. Guys, thank you so much, you wiggly little guy, right? No matter where you find yourself, listen, all the things that you feel like have kept you from God or have kept God from you, it is finished. And if you're ready to start a relationship with God and accept what He did on the cross, all you have to do is receive it. And listen, you may say, Zach, it's too easy. Well, God's word says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, for our sins, you will be saved. And so we're actually going to do that right now. We're going to start a relationship with Jesus right now. And I know maybe that's not why you came to church, but you know it's why you're here. you know it's time for you to start a relationship with God. You are feeling drawn into a relationship with God. It's right here. It's right now. So we're actually going to do it together. Across all of our campuses, across the state of Tennessee, we are going to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Will you just bow your head and close your eyes with me? And we're a family here. You don't have to pray alone. So let's pray this all together out loud and declare it. Say, Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I know you came to pay for my sins, to pay my debt by dying on the cross. I could never be good enough. I could never pay it. I will live for you because you died for me. Be Lord of my life. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, hey, if you prayed that prayer today, if you started a relationship with Jesus, we're not going to embarrass you or do anything crazy, but just raise your hand. Just raise it high. You don't have to be ashamed or anything like that. Awesome. Awesome. Raise them up high. Look, got hands all over the place. Praise God. Raise them up high. This is so good. We'll give it a minute. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Praise God. That's so awesome. Awesome. God is so good. God is so, just one more minute. Raise those hands. God is so good. Awesome. Faith Promise, can we celebrate with the people who gave their life to Christ today? Is that not amazing? Come on. Come on. And hey, listen, it's just the beginning. Your salvation is not the best day, it's the beginning day. And so at Faith Promise, our vision is we exist to win the world by equipping Christ followers, you and me, to win our world, starting with 1% of Tennessee. And so we want to equip you to be all that God has called you and me to be. So we want to do something together this week with everybody, and not just those who just gave their life to Christ, but everybody. We want to boost your relationship with Jesus if you've been following him for years or if you just gave your life to Christ. And so we've created something called 7-Day Start. And there's going to be a deal on the screen. It's all of it's online. We do have, if online is not an option for you, we do have some physical copies at our guest services table. Because we want you to walk in all that God has. Let's carry this momentum for Easter. We should be living like this every day. Every weekend should feel this exciting. Because Jesus died so we can have life and life to the full every day. And you may ask, oh, what's this supposed to look like? What is life supposed to look like now that the work is finished? Well, now that the work is finished, there's a couple things that we should be doing. First, we need to trust it. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. Let me put it this way. If you were in a court and you were being accused of murder, right? And you know you didn't do it, but God, the trial seems tight and the judge seems unsure and the evidence looked good. And at the end, you know, it's coming down to it and the judge looks at you and makes eye contact. You can tell he's unsure, but he says, not guilty. Would you go up to his thing and say, are you sure? No, he'd be looking at your backside as you ran out of the room. Would you go and just say, hey, listen, I know you said not guilty, but I'm just going to go sit in the jail cell in case you change your mind. No, he would never see you again. Why, if when a judge says not guilty, do we not believe when Jesus says it is finished? Because that hammer hitting the nails in his body was a lot more powerful than the ones hitting the thing. It is finished. We have to live like it. But part of the reason we have a hard time trusting it is because we're not acting on it, which is another thing we have to do. We have to act on the finished work of Jesus. We have to act on it. Listen, if we receive the finished work of Jesus on the cross, then we should be acting on it. I actually had this revelation recently in prayer for you that the revelation or the understanding, it's in the participation. If you're waiting to understand it just by reading, listen, I love you, you're not going to get it. The revelation is in the participation. If you want the revelation of the finished work, the power and the freedom that Jesus died to give you on the cross, you are going to have to live it out. You're going to have to follow him. We need to come out of the tomb of living like everybody else around us. We need to come out of the tomb of power of sin in our life. We need to come out of the tomb of separation from God. We need to come out of the tomb of not trusting what Jesus said about us and out of the tomb of not acting on who God's called us to be. Come out of the tomb. And you may ask, okay, Zach, I'm down, baby. Come on, man. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do it. You may say, what's my first step out of the tomb? You're not the first one to ask that question. When Jesus died and rose from the grave and then went to heaven to prepare a place for us, the first sermon that was preached by a guy named Peter. And they heard the same sermon that you heard today about what Jesus did to offer you freedom and they were cut to the heart like a lot of us are right now. Tons of people got saved today, but there's more Christians that are getting cut to the heart right now too. And they said, what should we do? And Peter said, this is what you should do. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After we give our life to Christ, we are called to be baptized. And we're going to do that today. We have everything you need. We have shorts and shirts and towels. We have everything you need. More importantly, we have a whole church ready to celebrate the mess out of it, okay? Listen, hey man, are we not excited about baptism? And you may ask, hey, who needs to get baptized? Let's make it really clear. Anyone who has believed in Jesus and has not been baptized on the right side of salvation. Well, what does that mean? Let's just go through the list. If you gave your life to Christ today, you need to be baptized. If you've given your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. I love you. I don't want to offend you. But if you were sprinkled when you were a baby, which was not your decision, and you gave your life to Christ later, biblically, you need to be baptized by submersion, right? I feel like Oprah saying, you get a car and you get a, but it's better. You get to be baptized and you get to be baptized. See, baptism is putting on the jersey of joining Team Jesus. It's the wedding ring of joining this, starting this relationship with the one who loves you most. Listen, baptism, I know it may feel there's a lot of people around you and it may make you feel nervous. Come on, just receive this, feel this. Baptism is a celebration, not an obligation. Amen. If I said, hey, I got $1 million for you, would you say, my hair's too good to receive that today. I don't want to cry. No. You'd say, come on now. It's just the best day. We're ready for you. We've got clothes, we've got towels, and we've got a church that couldn't be more excited. So I want to pray for boldness and humility across Tennessee. Can we just stand up and let me pray for us? God, we come before you right now, and I pray for boldness. I pray for obedience, God. Whatever you have to say, we will obey. Whatever you have to say, we will obey. And so there's people right now, you are tugging on their hearts. Whenever we count to three here in a second, they're supposed to go out, and they're supposed to get baptized. And today, whatever you say, we will obey. Today is a start of revival. Today is a start of a new life. Today is a start of living in freedom. It is finished, and we will believe it. We will trust it. We will act on it, and we will walk out in freedom. In your name we pray. Amen. So, hey, guys, I'm going to count to three, and we're going to celebrate. And all across the state, if you need to get baptized, I need you to go out, walk in boldness. We're going to celebrate you. Come on, Faith Promise. 1, 2, 3. Come on, Faith. Let's celebrate. Y'all head out back. Come on.